You may be seated. Today is June 11th, and it is also the 18th month, the 2.5 year marker of my time at Holly Grove. And I say that because it is a celebration for me. I often say that I am grateful to be the pastor of this church, but I don't think, for as often as I say it, I can truly express the gratitude that I have that I get to lead this church and that I get to be your pastor. One of the things that I do on the 11th of every month, because my first day was January 11th, 2021, is I get out the bulletin from my installation service, and I turn to one of the pages where it has the words of what I promise to do among you and what you promise to do for me, because these words didn't just happen. They weren't just said on that day, but they continue to be the covenant that we share as pastor and people, as shepherd and flock. And one of my favorite lines in these words of installation, "People of God, will you receive Anna as a messenger of Jesus Christ, sent to serve all people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard her as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God?" A steward of the mysteries of God. I love being a steward of those mysteries. As you know, I am a student of theology. I love to read. I love to study. And one of the things that I believe about my call, and not just this specific call to Holly Grove Lutheran Church, but about my call as a pastor of Word and Sacrament, is that I am called to help people understand that God is far bigger and far beyond all that we can even begin to imagine. Because as humans, we have a tendency to want to kind of put God in a box, to make God understandable, to make God fit who we kind of want God to be. And I believe that for myself and pastors of my generation, our call is to break down those boxes, to break down the walls, and to help all of God's people understand that God is far bigger, far more vast than we could ever, ever imagine. And so on this 2.5 year marker, I say thank you for the gift of being your pastor, and thank you for opening your hearts and your minds to the bigness of who God is and how God is at work in our church and in the world around us. So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you were in school, do you ever remember thinking, why do we have to learn this? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think, do you remember ever thinking that? Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in confirmation. Why are we going through confirmation? Why are we learning these things? And I think the fact is we've all kind of questioned at one point or another why we have to learn something. And I wonder if you've ever asked that question here at church. About church, about God, why do we have to learn this? Why is this important? And I think when we ask the question at church, why do we have to learn this, that there's a fundamentally different answer than anywhere else out in the world, and that is relationship. Why are we thinking about the Apostles' Creed and exploring what we believe this summer? Relationship. When we learn more about who God is and how God is at work in the world around us, we grow deeper in our relationship with God. We don't just learn things here at church to acquire knowledge or to master a subject or to pass a test. we learn more here at church about who God is and how God is at work. Because Jesus commands us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our minds, with all of our souls and strength. We're called to love God with all of who we are and all that we have, and part of that means that throughout our lives, we continue to learn more and more about who God is. And so let's jump in. Let's jump into this first part of the creed, to the first person in the Trinity. Let's explore what it means when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Well, first of all, I believe. The word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which in Latin is the first two words of the creed, I believe. And credo is a two-part word. It means heart and give in Latin. I give my heart to. So when we say, I believe in, we are saying, I give my heart to. I give my heart to God the Father, the Almighty. I put my trust in. I believe in. I give my heart and devotion to. This is what it means when we say, I believe. Martin Luther said, whatever it is that your heart clings to, that is your God. Whatever it is that your heart clings to. Think about the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And Martin Luther asked the question, what does this mean? It means that we are to fear and love and trust God above all things. To believe in God is to make a choice about our priorities, where we will spend our time, how we will spend our energy, who we will be in relationship with, how we spend our money, who we give our heart to. Credo, I believe, I give my heart to. So I believe in God the Father Almighty. If I were to ask you to close your eyes and picture God, would you imagine God, one, as a human, and two, as a male? You don't have to raise your hands, but unfortunately, one of the limits of language, especially English, is that it doesn't help us fully describe who God is. Because the truth about God is that God is not human. Yes, Jesus Christ is human, and we'll get to that second person of the Trinity in a few weeks, but God, the first person of the Trinity, is not human. God is spirit. And because God is spirit, God does not have a gender. Humans have gender. God, the first person of the Trinity, is not human and does not have a gender. And so some might say, well, wait a minute. If God isn't human, if God is not male, then why do we use he for God? And why do we call God Father? Those are really good questions, and I could spend several hours talking about this to you. It was really painful for me to put this into just a couple of pages. But those are really, really good questions. Because the words that we use to talk about God, the words that we use to describe God, they matter. They matter because they shape the way that we understand God. So, of course, we all know that Scripture was written over the course of many, many centuries, hundreds of years. And all through those centuries, the cultures were patriarchal, meaning that men held the power and the authority, and truly women were powerless. They were at the very, very bottom of society for no reason other than their biological gender. And men wrote to Scripture. Every word that we have in our Bible was written by a man. And most of our translations, up until recently, have been men translating it. So when they had to choose between describing God as male or female, because those are the only two options in our languages, of course they would choose male. Of course they would choose male pronouns. Because the truth about being human is that we try so hard to make sense of things, but we just don't always have adequate language. And so in Hebrew and Greek, the original languages of the Bible, and in our case, when it's translated into English, the writers and translators, they chose to use male language, including the word father for God. Now, after all of these centuries, even though we know that God doesn't have a gender, the reason that we still use father in the Lord's Prayer and in the Creed is because that's what's historically and traditionally been used. And don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that you should stop calling God Father. I'm just trying to help you understand that just calling God Father limits our understanding of who God is. Because the truth is, God is no more a father than God is a mother. Because God is no more male than God is female. God is not literally a father. God is not literally a mother, just like God is not literally a shepherd or a fortress or a judge. Scripture is filled with word pictures, metaphors, and similes to help us understand different parts of God's character so that with all of them, we can have a fuller understanding of who God is. All of this to say, brothers and sisters, God is so big. God is so great that we can never fully understand all of who God is. And so returning back to God the Father, Scripture has actually images of both God as a father and as a mother. In fact, the passage that we read from Isaiah talks about God being a mother who comforts her children. What would it mean if we were to think more about God as a mother and father, holding all of the verses that we find in the Bible about God being father and mother? What if we were to hold them all together? How would it help us understand God more fully? I think what we're all trying to get at here is that God is like a parent. Not just a father, not just a mother, but God has the characteristics of both kinds of parent. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray using the word father, what he was trying to help his disciples, and I think us, understand, is that he had an intimate relationship with God, and that he wanted his followers to also have that kind of intimate relationship. The kind that a child would have with a parent. To call God father or mother is to describe yet one more way that God loves us. With the care that a parent would have for a child, with the tenderness that a parent would have for a child, with the loving closeness that a parent would have for a child, God has that tenderness and that loving closeness with us. And so as we hold that part of who God is, even though maybe it's a little bit bigger and less describable than we want it to be, God desires to be in an intimate, loving relationship with all people. That is God, our parent. That is God, our Father. That is God, our Mother. And we hold that with God also being almighty. God is the creator of the universe. God has existed from eternity to eternity. God created all the universes and all the galaxies and stars and plants and trees and creatures and every single human that has ever existed. This is also the big God that we know God Almighty to be. And I think this is what Almighty is trying to get at, that God is so great and so vast and so powerful and so mighty, ruling over all things, that this is the God that we regard as holy. This is the God that we reverence. This is the God that we understand is beyond all human understanding and logic. God is almighty. And God is father. God is parent. God is both. These are two facets of who God is. We hold them both together. And so what we're saying when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, is that we put our trust in God. We give our hearts to God. God is bigger. God who is bigger than we can imagine. We give our heart to God who is a loving parent. We honor God and we have reverence for God, and we can come to God just like a child does to a parent. That we give our heart to the God who created the entire universe and galaxies, to the God who still cares for them and loves all that is in them. That this God is the God who adopted us in our baptism. We are now God's beloved children. So I believe in God the Father Almighty. Perhaps it means that I give my heart to God. God who has characteristics of a father and a mother, this parent who has adopted us in baptism and who loves us beyond all that we could ever ask for or imagine. That we put our trust in this God, who is a tender parent, who loves us and comforts us, and who is protective of us. We put our trust in God Almighty, the one who rules over all things and who is bigger than we could ever understand or comprehend. This is the God that our hearts cling to. Amen.